Well, thank you, Anne-Marie, for the opportunity to speak today. So I'm not an expert in intellectual property, and my intent today is to give you a perspective. I work as a corn breeder geneticist for the USDA ARS in Ames, Iowa, and so my remarks today shouldn't be taken as statements of USDA policy, but rather I just want to give you a perspective of the way that I look at intellectual property given the activities that I'm engaged in. So my perspective starts with a little bit of history. In Ames, Iowa, we've had a corn breeding program that's been a cooperative program between the state and the university since since 1922. And the way the program has worked is federal researchers develop and maintain corn populations that are used in breeding and experiments, and these populations typically are not released. However, the state researchers will develop inbred lines from those populations, and those inbred lines then are released. So there's been a series of inbred lines that start with the letter, they're named with the letter B and then a number. And this series of inbred lines, between 1960 and 1980, for example, many of them were used directly in hybrids that were sold in production corn varieties. I have 20%. It's really hard to know that number. That's a guess. But the value of that activity then, say the farm gate value of the grain produced of those hybrids is easily billions of dollars, right? So this is an example of plant breeding creating value, and that for me is, I guess, where I want to go with this presentation. I want to talk about intellectual property rights because, as I see it, the purpose of intellectual property is to define how the value that's created by plant breeders is divided. So if you think of it as a pie, the value is a pie. How are we going to divide up the pieces of the pie? And an interesting question to me is, can the value change based on the intellectual property agreement? So can you come up with a good agreement that actually changes the size of the pie, right? You create value with your intellectual property agreement, and I think that's pretty clearly the case. So here's a seed production chain that's pretty typical of what happens in corn. It's an example. There are many ways to do this, and I think we'll see alternative examples later on. And sometimes these the chain is organized so some of the functions are carried out by one company. You can draw a box around any number of these functions, and you could build a company around that box. But the point of this is that there are costs associated with each of these steps, and then the value of the product can be spread however you want throughout this whole process, right? Or it can even be assigned to other places. And so that value can then take care of the costs that you incur in this process. It can get complicated. You can have consumers that value different things in different products, and I think this is where it gets difficult for the intellectual property people to understand. They're talking with breeders trying to understand what is the value of this product. It's up to the breeder to communicate the value of their products, and sometimes the value is different to different consumers, and it's a complicated situation. Okay, so that was my introduction, and really this is my talk. Here's what I want to see from tech transfer. So in ARS, we are always thinking about impact, and I think that's a great way to think about your work. So we're trying to maximize the impact of our work. So to do that, we need barriers to increase utilization of our products. One thing that would help a lot for us to gauge impact is if we had some kind of feedback on the use of our products And that's something that we are really missing, and I'm throwing it out there as an idea. Can intellectual property agreements help us get feedback on the utilization of our products? We need to accommodate multi-institutional cooperations. Right now, I have agreements with 3 different universities, and we haven't released anything yet with a 4-partner agreement, but I'm looking forward to trying to do that. We need to accommodate different users. There are basically commodity and premium markets, and I think that would have a big difference in how you might approach the intellectual property rights, and I think that we'll hear more about that later, I hope. And then ideally you would generate some support for your breeding programs, not just the breeder involved but with developing the product, but there's infrastructure that needs to be supported as well. For example, the National Plant Germplasm Collections, you know, are a resource that is essential to our breeding activities, and they need to be included in part of the value distribution chain of our products. That's all I had to say. So I'll turn it over to the next speaker.